Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giridhara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giridhara Dhari. Sodanandana Prajajana Ranjana Yasodanandana Prajajana Ranjana Amunatira Panachari. Amunatira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Thank you very much. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are continuing with chapter 10 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 10, chapter 5, and the text for today is 11 and 12. So text 11 is on the board, and text 12 doesn't have a purport, so we'll chant responsively text 11. Gopya sumrishta mani kundala nishka kantyas. Chitrambara pati shikas yutta malya varshaham. Nandalayam sa yalaya vrajati virejur. Yalola kundala payo dharara shobaham. Kopya sumrishta mani kundala nishka kantyas. Chitrambara pati shika chuta malya varshaha. Nandalayam savalaya vrajati virejur. Yalola kundala payo dharara shobaham. Gopya samrushta mani kundala nishka kantyash. Chitrambara pati shika chuta malya varshaham. Nandalayam savalaya vrajati virejur. Vyalola kundala payo dharara shubham. Please chant. Gopyam sumrishta mani kundala nishka kantyas. Chitrambara pati sika chuta malya varsham. Nandalayam savalaya vrajati virejur. Yalola kundala payodharara shobaham. Gopya sumrishta mani kundala nishka kantyas. Chitrambara pati shika chuta malya varsham. Nandalayam savalaya vrajati virejur. Yalola kundala pavo dharara shobaha. Gopya sumrishta mani kundala nishka kantyash. Chitrambara pati sika chuta malya varsha. Nandalayam navya vrajati virejur. Vyalola kundala payodharara shobha. I guess I'll do the word-for-word translation and the purport, and then read the next verse. Gopya, the gopis, sumrishta, very dazzling, mani, made of jewels, kundala, wearing earrings, nishka kantya, and having little keys and lockets hanging from their necks. Chitra Ambara, dressed with varieties of colored embroidery. Pati, on their way to Yasoda Mai's house. Shika, Chutya, fell from their hair. Malya Vashaha, a shower of flower garlands. Nanda Alayam to the house of Nanda Maharaj. Savalayaha with bangles on their hands. Rajati while going in that costume. Vireju, they looked very, very beautiful. Vyalola, moving. Kundala, with earrings. Payodara, with breasts. Hara, with flower garlands. Shobha, who appeared so beautiful. The translation for text 11. In the ears of the gopis were brilliantly polished jeweled earrings, and from their necks hung metal lockets. Their hands were decorated with bangles. Their dresses were of varied colors, and from their hair, flowers fell onto the street like showers. Thus, while going to the house of Maharaj Nanda, the gopis, their earrings, breasts, and garlands moving, were brilliantly beautiful. Purport. The description of the gopis who were going to the house of Maharaj Nanda to welcome Krishna is especially significant. The gopis were not ordinary women, but expansions of Krishna's pleasure potency as described in the Brahma Samhita. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavi Tabis. Tabirya eva nija rupataya kalibi, goloka eva nivasati akilatma bhuto govinda maripurusham tamaham bhajami, 537. Chintamani prakara sadmashu kalpa vriksha laksha vriteshu shurabi api palayantam lakshmi sahasra sata sambrahma sevayana manam govinda maripurusham tamaham bhajami. 529. Krishna is always worshipped by the gopis wherever he goes. Therefore, Krishna is so vividly described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also described Krishna in this way. Ramya kachit upasana. Vraja vadi vajena ya kalpita. All these gopis were going to offer Krishna their presentation because the gopis are eternal associates of the Lord. Now the gopis were more jubilant because of the news of Krishna's appearance in Vrindavan. And text 12. Tashisha prayujanujanash chirampaiti palake haridra churna tailabi suchanjo gyanam ujaiku. And the translation for text 12. Offering blessings to the newborn child, Krishna, the wives and daughters of the cowherd men said, may you become the king of Raja and long maintain all its inhabitants. They sprinkled a mixture of turmeric powder, oil and water upon the birthless Supreme Lord and offered their prayers. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Ramaparaswami Tinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. I looked at the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on these two verses, and interestingly enough, he gives a little commentary on the second verse which Srila Prabhupada doesn't comment on. So I'm going to try and interconnect everything and proceed. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Sarita Darshini he comments on this verse that we have on the board, saying that, because it's Sukadev Goswami who's speaking, he's commenting that Srila Sukadev Goswami was feeling somewhat dissatisfied with the description he'd already given of the gopis. So the description that was already given was this one. I'll read the English. The lotus-like faces, extraordinarily beautiful, being decorated with saffron and newly grown kumkum, the wives of the cowherd men hurried to the home of Mother Yashoda with presentations in their hands. Because of natural beauty, the wives had full hips and full breasts, which moved as they hurried along. So that was the previous text. So this is the description that Srila Sukadev Goswami had already given of the gopis, and which Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is commenting wasn't satisfying Srila Sukadev Goswami adequately, so hence the description today. Now, the emphasis that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur puts in the description, the first description, which was in text 10 covered yesterday, he particularly puts an emphasis on this word balibihi, which is translated as with presentations in their hands. or that the gopis had put gold coins, jewel necklaces and expensive cloth, along with fruits such as coconut, rice, durva grass, sandalwood and garlands on the trays that they were holding in their left hand, and that the trays were covered with a gold cloth. So the verse today, Srila Sukadev Goswami, he's proceeding to elaborate on the beauty of the gopis. And so the earlier mention was that their lotus-like faces were splendid with kumkum powder. And in the description today, the further addition that's coming is that, and I think it's in the second line, yes, Shikha, their hair was tied up. So that's the second thing that's coming, or an elaboration of the description of the gopis. Now, there's a significance for the gopis carrying a tray laden with gold coins. And that is that there's a Vedic injunction that wealth has to be purified. And generally, accumulating wealth, it isn't necessarily always done through an honest means or a pious means. So purification has to be done by giving gold to the brahmanas in charity. So this is the means to, I guess, nullify the impiety involved in accumulating the wealth. So, and this is charity in the mode of goodness. And Krishna describes this in 1721 Bhagavad Gita, where he says, charity given out of duty, without expectation of return, at the proper time and place, and to a worthy person, is considered to be in the mode of goodness. So the charity here is given to a person engaged in spiritual activities. So the only criterion that needs to be met for charity being given in the mode of goodness is the timing and the recipient. because if that criterion is met of the correct timing and the correct recipient, then it allows for spiritual perfection. So the charity has to be given to a qualified Brahmana or a Vaishnava devotee in a temple, or at a place of pilgrimage. And there's also the timing aspect. Charity can be given at the time of an eclipse, a lunar or a solar eclipse. Like recently, I've been exposed to a young woman who was drawing my attention to the fact that quite twice already there's been a solar eclipse, not visible in Chicago, but the family tradition was to observe an austerity. So this is not taking into account, let's say, because it's going to the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas, where there's performing austerity at the time of a solar eclipse. So in the austerity that was described to me was not being permitted to sit down for the duration of the eclipse, which I think was a period of 4 hours. So for 4 hours, just having to pace, not perform any work, but just pace up and down. And this particular person was in a pregnant condition, so this was not an easy austerity for the person, because in fact the legs were very tired. But it's very interesting here, the recommendation is that at the time of a solar eclipse, one should give in charity. So that would have been an easier, much easier way. And actually, taking care of the significance of the timing in a way that allows for spiritual elevation. The significance of the gopis having grains on their trays that they were carrying in their left hands, it's also in a Vedic injunction that when there's a newborn child, there also has to be purification connected to birth. And this purification is to be done by gifts of grain to the brahmanas. So we see the gopis are carrying in their left hand the gold coins and the grains is mentioned. So the basic tenet for these acts of charity is that there's a necessity of purifying one's life. Because one's always living in a state that's sullied by material interactions. I mean, whether it's in performing business, there's always mental calculation of, you know, getting more profit for oneself. So that's getting sullied in that material interaction. or there's a certain material grossness. I mean, one thinking of the birth process, extremely gross. So there has to be purification. So all of that is taken care of just in this one little tray being carried by the gopis as they're moving, because they're carrying the appropriate articles for purification, which allows for any corrupting elements to be eliminated. So they're following Vedic injunctions. Now, there's actually three things that need to be made pure. And one is the duration of one's life has to be purified, the possession of wealth, and one's very self. So the duration of life is purified by taking a daily bath and by cleansing the body externally and internally. And Srila Prabhupada says also accepting the 10 kinds of purificatory processes, marriage, etc., all the samskaras. And the possession of wealth is purified by austerity. So the person that I was speaking to about performing this austerity at the time of a solar eclipse, I asked what was the purpose of that particular austerity, and it was explained to me that it was a family tradition. The person had been instructed to do that by the mother-in-law. And in actual fact, just her austerity is purifying the possession of wealth, actually, just having undertaken that austerity. But it was not understood. It was just, this is a tradition in the family, and, you know, it has to be followed. So it's very interesting when one has transcendental knowledge, you know, one can actually see very clearly what even persons who are performing austerities dutifully, based on the Vedas, may not even be understanding. So it's very interesting. And the purification of self is the study of the Vedas, because one is attempting to understand more closely the absolute truth and therefore realize one's very self. Now, Just a little comment to relate to the duration of life being purified by taking a daily bath. All the toxins get eliminated during the night, so you know there's, in a gross way, even impure thoughts, etc. It comes out in the form of toxins through the skin. So the bath cleanses all that away. So it's extremely important. Now, going back to, in the same way that the cowherd men, once they heard that Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, was celebrating the birth ceremony of his son, they dressed themselves with very expensive garments, and they also put on ornaments, such as different kinds of earrings. So it's interesting. It was the custom for the men to wear earrings, and they put necklaces on their bodies. they placed great turbans on their heads. And in the same way, we hear that the gopis were decorating their ears with pearl rings. So we get a little bit more description for the gopis of what it is, that what the earrings look like, their pearl rings. And their necks had jeweled lockets. So it means everything's gleaming. And their lips and eyes had different kinds of lipstick and ointment. And their hands had nice golden bangles. So that's what we were reading today. So although the beauty, and this is very interesting, although the beauty of the gopis had already been described, that they had lotus-like faces and there was kumkum powder, because of their great devotion to Lord Krishna, that's why Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur is commenting that Srila Sukadev Goswami wanted to describe even more the gopis. Because naturally one feels this incredible desire to glorify very great devotees of the Lord. So of course, Srila Prabhupada in the purport is mentioning they're the eternal associates of the Lord. But at any rate, as devotees of the Lord, we have the enhanced beauty of the gopis being described in a very particular way, and it's quite subtle because the beauty is described in terms of their movement. So it's described that they were hastily passing over the stone road, and as they were hastily passing over the stone road, the flower garlands that were decorating their bodies fell to the ground, and it appeared that a shower of flowers was falling from the sky. So this is how the beauty is enhanced, this visual image that it's as though cascades of flowers are falling from the sky when their movement is creating the falling of the flowers to the ground. And also there's the movement from the different kinds of ornaments on their bodies, which makes them look still more beautiful. So from Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, this means this is how Srila Sukadev Goswami further enhances the beauty of the gopis. So it's very subtle, describing that the movement is adding to their beauty. And there's, in Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada makes an interesting analogy on this. And this is his analogy. As the dust on the lotus flower, and this is from the earlier verse where Srila Sukadev Goswami was not completely satisfied, but Srila Prabhupada makes an analogy referring to the beauty of the gopis. As the dust on the lotus flower exhibits the exquisite beauty of the flower, so all the gopis, the cowherd woman, applied the dust of kumkum on their lotus-like faces. So Srila Prabhupada is, highlighting the beauty, the earlier description of the lotus-like faces of the gopis from Srila Sukadev Goswami's description by making that analogy that it's very much like the kumkum part on the lotus like faces is like the beautiful pollen coming from the lotus flower. It points more to the exquisite beauty of the flower. So their faces are appearing even more beautiful with the kumkum powder on it. So, on a very mundane level, because I was trying to think a little bit on this topic, and naturally I have a whole section in my own memory bank that's more mundane. So I'm going to backtrack a little and lead to the thought process. Now, there's usually an urge in humans to find out what another person is like. This is a common thing. So the curiosity is responsible for all the success of gossip magazines as well as autobiographies. There's that urge to find out more about a person or what a person is like. So even romances, they start with some desire to penetrate this enigmatic shield that's there of a beloved person. So usually psychologists, they devise some means to find out what's hidden behind the external mask. So for example, hypnosis is used as a kind of truth serum, where you know you're going to find out what's behind the external. Now, where I'm going to with this is I was thinking, because I've liked doing photography, I particularly like doing movement photography. So with movement photography, it's supposed to be, and this is a special term is given to it, I mean, it sounds more a gross kind of movement, but jumpology, the study of persons who are moving but jumping. It says that the real self becomes visible. So the camera captures, when a person's in movement, they can't conceal something of their internal self, like the expression will suddenly be, whatever, a little bit concerned, even though they're jumping or very free. So, you know, the person throws all abandon, was very abandoned to movement. So it says something of the character of the personality. So, in the case of the gopis, there's that same kind of falling away of gravity, meaning that the flowers are falling to the ground and they appear to be showering from the sky. So in their case, their movement was impelled by joy. So as soon as they heard that Mother Yasoda had given birth to a child, all the cowherd women had become overwhelmed with joy. So this is what impelled their movement, and hence they appear to be moving in a way that was so speedy that even though the flowers were on their bodies, it appeared that the flowers were coming from above and falling down. So there was a kind of loss of gravity, meaning the movement wasn't bound to the earth, so to speak. At least this is how I'm understanding the showering of the flowers. And there's a description of the emotions of the cowherd men as being exactly the same. And this is, I'm reading from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. He puts it this way. When all the ecstatic cowherd men heard that Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, was celebrating the birth ceremony, they became spontaneously joyful. So everything is impelled by joyfulness, all the movement. So one could infer that the beauty is there too because of extreme joyfulness. Now, Srila Prabhupada states that the gopis and the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they didn't know anything except Krishna. So their whole purpose in life was to love Krishna. So this devotion to Lord Krishna, there's a section of the Bhagavatam where Srila Sri Vasudeva is speaking and he explains how he understands this devotion, which we just are hearing how it was manifest through the movement and the decoration and following the Vedic injunctions. He explains it this way. This is quoting him, Vasudeva speaking. Devotion, direct experience of the Lord, and detachment from other things. These three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way that pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. So this is from Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto in the second chapter. So this is Vasudev describing this devotion. So the analogy that he's giving is that bhakti can be compared to satisfaction because both are forms of pleasure. So there's deep internal satisfaction. So it means pleasure's been experienced because of the satisfaction. And the experience of the Supreme Lord, so there's experience of him by remembering him or going towards him as the gopis and the cowherd men are doing. And the nourishment that comes from that remembering, they're analogous because both nourishment and the experience of the Supreme Lord, thinking of him, moving towards him, they're sustaining life. So actually the gopis' lives and the cowherd men's lives are being sustained just by their moving towards Krishna. And at the same time, and taking this analogy into account that Vasudev is giving for how devotion works, there's detachment and a cessation of hunger. So it means one is freed from wanting anything else. So there's a peacefulness. So somebody who's experiencing the Supreme Personality of Godhead isn't actually interested in anything other than Krishna, because his attachment to Krishna is increasing at every moment. And in addition, any object is considered as something to be used in his service, as opposed to specifically thinking of that object as an enjoyable object. So we found that little plate representing all these valuable things following Vedic injunctions, but it's been used in the service of the Lord, the giving of charity at the right time, at the right place. And then the second verse from today that didn't have the purport, it's commented upon by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It says that then the gopis reach the destination and they enter the maternity ward, as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur puts it. So what the gopis say when they see Krishna is, may you protect us. So Krishna, the son of the king, if one looks at it practically, would protect them when he assumes the throne, so to speak. But there's another reading there too, and that is that out of parental affection, the gopis are offering a Krishna blessing. May you live a long life. And Srila Prabhupada also writes this in Krishna book where he says that the gopis bless the child. Dear child, this is Srila Prabhupada writing, so he puts it in his words. Dear child, you live long just to protect us. So it's a blessing, but inbuilt in it is looking to him for protection. So the next part that wasn't, since there's no commentary on this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur does comment. This is the verse that says, they sprinkled a mixture of turmeric powder, oil, and water upon the birthless Supreme Lord and offered their prayers. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur actually says that the elderly gopis, they went outside and celebrated Krishna's birth by singing loudly. And this is interesting because in the Nectar of Devotion, there's mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami that Singing loudly is actually a symptom of ecstatic love. So this is what they did, and alongside the singing loudly, they sprinkled each other with a mixture of oil, water, and turmeric. So those were the two verses today. If there's any comment or thought or some expansion of the discussion.
Hare Krishna Mahaji, thank you for class. I liked what you just mentioned about singing loudly can be a symptom of ecstatic love. It was reminding me of a talk I heard from Ayendra Das, when he said that chanting japa is effective, but it's like taking little pellet pills of the medicine, but chanting loudly is like an injection of bhakti that just causes like a lot more taste to happen. So just wanted to comment on that.
Thank you very much for the contribution, considering it's coming from a devotee that dedicated his life to almost incessantly chanting. So this is very significant. And it's interesting when one makes a connection also that it's a symptom of ecstatic love. So surely through his continuous ecstatic chanting, it was an indication of the great ecstasy he was feeling internally. So thank you very much for the contribution.
In the purport, Prabhupada is describing these verses from Brahma Samhita. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratitavitabhis. And Lakshavritesha Sudabhirda Bipalyantam Lakshmi Sahasra. Krishna is always worshipped by the gopis wherever he goes. So in this verse, it's describing that Krishna's birth appearance and the gopis are rushing. So this implies that these gopis are of an older, perhaps they're in a different mood. Perhaps they're in a more vatsalya, seeing Krishna as, because he's a baby. So that would be an incompatible rasa for the gopis that Krishna enjoys with or dances with. So just curious if these gopis are more in a they're the more motherly kind of gopis. If you have any thought on that.
The only statement that indicates something of the age factor, so to speak, by Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur is that the elderly gopis, it specifically says elderly gopis, were, so presumably he's referring to the gopis in the second verse as elderly, the ones when they actually step outside, they sing loudly, they throw the oil and the turmeric, or not throw it, but I guess place it on their bodies. I can't hope men come to do the throwing. he specifically says elderly. You know, that, whether that indicates that, you know, they're not in the mood of conjugal love, the kind of parental affection, that would seem to be accurate. That it's because mention is made parental affection and elderly. So indeed there's, I guess, different categories of the gopis, and at least Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur does point to them being older.
Thanks, Mataji, for the class. In further verses, the verses described how they also throw themselves milk and milk products, look like an Abhishek, like a living Abhishek. In my eyes, I don't know, I probably am wrong.
Yeah, that was the cargo.
Because it's oils and flowers and water and all kinds of things. People throw themselves in joy, you know.
Yeah, in their case, there was sprinkling. It was the cargo men who did the throwing. And what was thrown was the milk products. And that also was an indication, which will come to from the previous classes, where there's mention of the great wealth and the sheer quantity of milk products. So they could freely throw milk or freely throw...
They could afford the luxury because there was surplus for everybody. Yes. There was so much of those products that it wasn't an important thing.
Yeah, they were throwing condensed milk, so not just regular milk. So it's quite thick and very sweet. So indeed, that's actually the favorite part of any Abhishek, when you see the deities with the very thick yogurt, completely obscuring them almost. Yeah, so it's very ecstatic. So yes, it's very joyful. Indeed, very joyful. So it's nice making the connection with Abhishek. Yeah, the gopis were sprinkling turmeric powder, oil, and water, both upon Krishna and on themselves. So they were more sedate, but still impelled by joy. Yeah, it's great joyfulness.
It's very nice just to get into the imagery, which you highlighted on the description of Sukadev Goswami, but also thinking that they, you know, usually when people go to their these big occasions, they bedeck themselves, you know, with their best things, you know, like these marriages and these expensive saris or dhotis and jewelry. But the cowherd people, the ladies and the men, they didn't have any concern about their expensive clothing and jewelry. They were throwing butter and condensed milk at each other, sprinkling thing, which basically, that's the end of that one, you know. But that also tells their opulence and sort of detachment, and you know, the joy is that, you know, what the heck.
Oh, thank you for highlighting that. Yes, having had the experience of trying to wash something stained by turmeric, I can attest to the fact that it may be ruined garments indeed. So that further enhances the joyfulness, the complete disregard for the, and as mention is made, it's very expensive garments that they put on. So indeed, sprinkling oil, turmeric, truly indeed, that is the end of that garment. So thank you for that charming point that only enhances the whole descriptive mood of the joyfulness of the occasion, the disregard for the expensive clothing items. Thank you very much. So on that exceptional note, thank you very much for kindly attending the class. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.